was very, you know, especially when the magazine first got started. So they bought that magazine, or got it, acquired it, as you probably know, from Bill Riddle.
Right. It was called the Youth Sweeper Newsletter.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bill kind of got the idea, you know, working for me, because I sent out a used sweep, or just a sweeper newsletter.
Uh-huh, and at Masco. But that was Mr. Air at the time, wasn't it?
No. It was No, I think it... So we changed the name in about 96, 97.
Okay.
And then, so Bill, you know, he sold drag shoes for a while for, Roy Bain.
Oh, right.
He sold drag shoes for him for a while, and then he worked at, maybe it was Mr. Air Sweeper.
Uh-huh.
Then he worked for Downey.
Now Masco, of course.
Yeah. And then he worked for Downey Toyota for a while. He jumped around, and then he ended up doing the news sweep.
Yeah.
And he was pretty good at it.
He did it for you guys.
Well, he taught me. He was the best. This story's not about him, but it's hard to not talk about him. He was the best telephone salesperson I've ever met in my life. I mean, he was a frickin' machine. He would sit down with his tickle cards. You know what a tickle card is?
Index cards that you...
Yeah, but there's a tickle file. It's called a tickle file. And I learned this from another guy selling. So you have that long box of... it's full of cards, and what you do is you divide it. You have a tab. This is before computers and shit. So you'd have it divided by months, and then in front it would be divided by weeks, by 1 month of a week. And so what you would do is you would pull the, so it was a rotating file all the time.
Sure.
So as you would make a phone call off a card and write down what you said or what they said, you'd put it in the back. Or if the guy said, call me back in June, then you'd put it in the June category.
Sure.
And so you would just wrote, anyhow, he did that like a machine. He was just a machine. And he would just, anyhow, so... then,
and that's Bill Riddle you're talking about.
Yeah.
So when did he start the magazine, do you think?
That's a good question.
Late 80s sometime.
Yeah. So I moved to Hawaii in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
To think what he was doing then.
We listed that before as in an article of the late 80s that it started, and then Davidson Macri, I'm not sure when they bought it.
That's the name I was trying to think of. So when Bill died, Davidson Macri, mostly Macri, I think, took it over.
Yeah, purchased the rights to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to drive here while I'm talking.
Yeah, that's...
No, that's cool. It's cool. Oh, well, I guess it wasn't cool.
So...
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Stay with us. Stay with us, Mike.
Yeah, not the first time I've been punked at.
Uh-huh, of course. So
I can't drive and talk at the same time. I'm a one-trick pony.
Exactly. I'll let you get back to it. Give me some.
I'm pulling in the driveway here. I'm at my destination.
Oh, okay.
So anyhow, so.
Well, tell me about when you started working with, when Mark Boyer became editor, and I know you two had developed a relationship with each other back and forth.
Right. Well, that was, so Davis and Macri had a, probably still is in existence,
Oh, they're a powerhouse.
Yeah.
In
and
Seattle.
One of the divisions that Macri was interested in was this newsletter. So, he worked for them, and I think he kind of was interested in publishing, and you know, he was pretty good at that kind of stuff. So that's when, so he started doing that, and he made the magazine slicker than it was that Bill had, and he developed a good mailing list. But so he was.
And I know Davidson Macri was started in 1993. They put that together, so that was probably around, you know, a couple of years later, I would guess.
Yeah, not too long, though, but right in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, when did we start having computers? What year was that?
Well, that was, some people still don't have them.
Good one. But, yeah, so, you know, that, so then he got pretty good at the graphics part of it. And you know, he was not a hard salesman, but he was a good. He always followed up with people and calling and seemed to do it. But what I was going to say is, you know, the internet for used sweepers was not as valuable as it is now.
Right, it wasn't really there at all.
Yeah, right. As a matter of fact, if I digress a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to the sweeper roundtable in Nashville, I think it was, and you were up front and you were leading a discussion in regard to the internet, and specifically about web pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you. That everybody who has a web page, there was about, there was probably 200 people in there.
Yeah.
Most of them were owners. And you said, how many people here have a web page? And maybe a handful of people raised their hand. And what was interesting is the next year you did the exact same thing, and like three quarters of the people, you know, raised their hand.
Right.
So it was. It was quite an interesting, I use that, I've talked about that many times as a demonstration of how it affected it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, so.
I definitely told them to look into it and go build themselves one. And I had built the first website in sweeping, which was Schwartz.com.
Yeah.
And
right,
so
I knew
the power, and how I knew the power of that came to me from, I think it was Don Harvey, a sales guy at Schwartz. This is when the Schwartz family owned it. And I can't remember exactly the college that did this, but the crux of the story was what would happen when they'd get a lead is that it would come in by email. I would forward, it would come into me because they didn't have computers going, and I would then print it out and fax it to them, and so they'd have the lead right away. And I told them it was very important to, we had to follow up right away, and they more or less paid attention to me. But you know, it might take a day or two then. You can't imagine that time frame now. And and then that all changed when we had the different models on the web page, which nobody in the Schwartz sales team paid much attention to. And somebody from you know, Princeton or Harvard, as I recall, it was a Ivy League school. They called up and said they wanted the sweeper. Well, the sales guy did what they always did, which is say, "Oh yes, I'll send you a brochure right now. And you'll get it tomorrow, and they always FedExed it out with some kind of a little letter. And the guy in this case said, oh no, I've seen it on your website. I just need to know how much to write the check for. And they got it. They finally got it. And
well, I have a similar story. When a guy was knocked on our door, our shop, you know, and he was a web designer, and nice guy, local guy, and we kind of hit it off, and I talked Larry into building a web page with him, and the first day we launched it, I sold used Street Sweeper. The very first day. And Larry goes, I think this is a good thing.
Yeah, I bet he did.
So anyhow.
For the first time, he said that.
What kind of year do you think that was when you did that with Schwartz?
Boy, I'd have to really look back at that one. 94, early 90s. Early 90s, anyway. And I could track it back, I'll tell you, it was by looking, because they passed a law that said about 6 months later they had a very correct, in my opinion, ruling that nobody could buy something that didn't actually belong to their company. So you couldn't buy Coca-Cola.com and, you know, resell it to Coca-Cola for big money. Remember that? But until then, it was the Wild West. You could buy anything that you wanted.
Yes.
And Mark,
I remember that, yeah.
Yep, Mark Schwartz told me when I was buying these, they were only $35, and I bought Schwartz.com, and that's, you know, it came up, we could buy any of these others too. And he said, well, if that's the case, just buy them. We'll see what happens. And so we had Timco. We probably had Mr. Air. I don't know.
Really?
But we bought about, I don't know, half a dozen. All the sweeper companies that did business in the United States
that hadn't bought it. Have you ever told anybody about this?
I know that Mark called me one day, and he had on the phone with him Kenneth Young from Timco, and Mark was just a little parking lot sweeper guy, you know, at the time. That's before they started.
Yeah.
It wasn't the statue that the Young family was by any means. And Kenneth had called him and kind of kibitzed a little bit about how things were going, but the crux of it was, would he have his guy Ranger turn over Timco.com? And Mark kibitzed a little back and then said, yeah, I'll have him do it. And so I did, so over the course of the next couple, 3 weeks, we got the transfer stuff done, and it was kind of complex at the time, and transferred it over, Timco.com, over to the Young family.
Now, I had a similar experience. I had a 1-800-TOYS for Toyotas. And Toyota paid me $5,000 for it.
Oh, all right. That's a better story.
That was pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
But you know, that's what was going on. And like you said, it was a Wild West for 800 numbers and web pages. And,
yeah.
You know, it was. It was crazy.
Emails.
So anyhow, then he started, you know, really getting that together, and we just took a liking to each other. We would talk, and he was always a fountain of information because he talked to somebody.
Yeah, Mark Boyer really knew his stuff, whether it was sweeping equipment or pavement, you know, maintenance equipment, didn't matter. He knew it.
Yeah, so he was a great barometer for me, just to know about the industry, what was going on, who was doing what. And you know, like I told you earlier, you know, if something would come up, a used sweeper that he thought I'd like, he would give me a heads up on it. And, you know, I bought many sweepers through that process before it hit his magazine. And vice versa, you know, because of that, I was pretty loyal to him about running ads. So I ran quite a few, ads for Newsweeper as well as Views.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good relationship.
Yeah, he and I would do the same thing when we'd go to NPE. A lot of times we would room together, and it really worked out well because we could pass information about what we'd seen at that day's show back and forth, and he'd get brochures. You know, he went to see everybody, of course, and he'd bring me brochures back.
He was very diligent.
Yeah, very diligent guy, exactly. Well, I'm sorry to see him gone. I don't know if you knew he was a good knife maker. Did you see some of his knives?
Yeah, we talked about that. I don't remember seeing... maybe he did send it, but we used to talk about that.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I enjoyed the roundabout information that is real helpful in knowing where Mark came from and what he got started on and what he was like. So, thanks for that.
Do you have that picture of him and his wife when he's dressed up like a pirate?
I do. I'm going to put that in.
That's a cool, I figured you would. That's a cool picture.
Yeah. Well, he really liked pirates. He put his pirate costume together for a pirate party that I had up here. And he came dressed to the teeth. He and Janice, and we had some great pirates here, but he was certainly one of them.
And that's
probably been
story.
20 years ago, so